Are we going?
We're going.
Welcome to the House Files. This week, we have a third story.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we had last week.
I think it was just starting last week. But there's a full-on third story with a floor and everything and like a roof for the deck.
And we've undone most of the previous decisions that we thought were locked in. So, like, every time we make a decision about the kinds of things that we need to decide, then we immediately get more information and then start questioning our previous decisions. Like, it took less than 12 hours for us to start questioning our decision with the entryway floor, which was one of the things that we made this week.
Yeah, so let's back up. We actually went to go look at tile for floors and backsplashes.
Yes, so essentially there were, no pun intended, we had nailed down the flooring in for the rentals, and then we had started to figure out what we were going to do with flooring for most of our unit. However, there were a couple places where the tile, we were thinking of doing more exciting tile as feature tile because they weren't as big of spaces, so we could maybe get slightly pricier tile. And then we also, there are a couple places where there's tile that we just hadn't made the decision yet, one of which is our entryway. Yep. So because there's a triple height entryway to our unit, meaning you enter at the ground floor and you can see all the way up to our unit, the third floor, and vice versa. When you're in the kitchen, you can look over the counter down onto the entryway. So our thought was, let's have a cool floor because you're going to be able to see it. Also, you're going to be able to see it from my office. There's a window, an interior window down onto the floor. So I've been trying to convince Aaron to come with me to the tile, the fancy tile place, as I'm calling
fancy
it.
Fancy tile place.
The fancy tile place for weeks. Finally was able to make an appointment. We were able to meet with a very experienced, charismatic tile designer, which was great. The fancy tile place is called Pratt and Larson. And this is why they're the fancy tile place. They have this these patterns where they, in Portland, make on site. You can choose any colors that you want for all of these segments. So they have actually a tile designer that you can play with on the website.
It's really cool. You can do almost anything you want and make some. These tiles come in like five or six different patterns, but you can, based on how you color them, make it look like an infinite number of different tiles.
Right.
Like, if you look at two things side by side, you're like, there's no way those are the same tile. And they are.
We were sitting there looking at full pieces on the wall, questioning back and forth, like, wait, is that the same tile as this one? The downside of these is, so these are infinitely customizable, and not everything would be quite as busy or like crazy as this one. I really like the colors on this. It might not be the right colors for a kitchen. And part of the reason we had thought about doing this is because one of the pieces of advice we were given was, you know, if you're worried about picking a tile that you think is going to look dated in these feature areas, if you design it, like if you make it art, then it's sentimental and you won't, it's not about, oh, that's old and it was trendy. It's more about like, oh, this is, you look at it sentimentally and therefore it's, but, and we're not doing this for resale. So,
but let's go back to the entryway. So we were trying to figure out what to do with the entryway, and it's not huge. I think it's about 8 feet by 10 feet. And it's going to be, there's a staircase in there and there's going to be shelves for coats and stuff and bikes on the floor. So not a huge room. It's an entryway, so it also has to be not slippery when you're walking in wet shoes. We're going to be wheeling bikes over it all the time.
It's the Pacific Northwest, so we have to plan for road grime and wetness 9 months a year. And then, you know, smog, dirt, the other three. Portland needs to have a better climate, I feel like. So, I mean, the advantage is that we're not going to have like a lot of melting snow generally. So, which is a really disgusting thing to have to deal with in an entryway, but we need a lot of grip. And currently we park our bikes in our apartment. And I have to mop around the bikes all the time. So we wanted to do something that had visual impact, but had a lot of texture and very easy to care for.
So we basically walked into the tile place and told all of that to the very nice tile lady. And she was like, oh, well, I've got the thing for you.
Yeah. I mean, just immediately.
It was very quick. She brought out these samples, which are small. These are just to get the idea of the colors. And she brought us a few different color palette out. We picked some of the ones that we liked. But then they come in a bunch of different shapes. And she actually also pointed to the pattern that she thought would work for us.
And it's very close. So I was originally thinking that I wanted to do a checkerboard floor because that's kind of is classic. It's a classic entryway flooring, and it's a classic for a reason. It like always looks good, but it's kind of interesting. And I thought, oh, if we do it in like a slightly different color, like if we do it in gray and then like a muted pink, for example, that would just make it a little more like a modern take on a traditional standard. Her kind of idea was to take that. So we've got the doing it in the cement.
Concrete.
I went through both words. So should we do the interlude for word of the week?
Okay.
We're going to have to do it because I'm going to screw it up like five times. So word of the week is cement/concrete.
Yeah.
Can you explain why it's so confusing?
So we went in there and said, oh, you know, we're thinking about doing a cement floor. And she's like, oh, no, you can't do a cement floor. That would be terrible. And we're like, oh, okay, that's a strong reaction.
Yeah.
Why not? Tell us more. She's like, oh, it's going to be super slippery. And like, that's not at all what you want. You want concrete instead. And then you were like, oh, I think that's what I thought I had said.
Yeah. And that's what this is.
And then she's like, oh, that's totally fine. Concrete, that's great. These are concrete. Concrete is cement plus rock.
Yes.
Cement is just the glue part. And I feel like...
And I keep getting confused.
And I feel like I use
cement
these...
is an ingredient it's in an concrete. Ingredient. But I personally have used them interchangeably in my life.
Also, don't you usually call them like cement trucks? But they're actually mixing concrete.
Correct.
So I feel like they're just interchangeable.
So the main reason I wanted to go with tile, actually, as opposed to like a polished concrete floor, because that's actually a pretty typical thing to do in an entryway. It's like common to do in like warehouses as a floor for a place where you need a functional floor and you don't need it to look that great. And it can look great initially. The problem is here, the ground will settle and you'll end up with cracks in it. And that isn't a big deal on a warehouse floor, and it actually kind of provides some traction. It doesn't look great in a residential place, but here's the thing that the absolute no for me was that if you want to fix it, you just have to pour more.
Right, yeah.
So the idea with tile is, sure, it might get broken, but you can replace the tile, and you can't do that with anything where you just pour it as like a flat surface.
Right.
That's also true with concrete countertops, because people get concrete countertops as well. And like with other things, if it gets a crack in it, you can like buff it out or, you know, replace a piece of it, but you can't do that with.
Okay, so back to the floor and at the tile shop.
Yes.
The tile lady pulled these out, said, you're going to do this pattern with this concrete tile.
Yep.
And choose the colors. And the pattern she pulled out was these. It's a rectangle with the corners cut out. And essentially, there are circles about 3 inches across at the intersection of all the tiles. So imagine a grid. At the intersection of all the tiles, there's a circle. And that dot we were going to do in the highlight color. Right. So the majority of it would be this dark gray with these little dots of color throughout the floor, which I think would look pretty cute. They don't even have to be all the same color. We could do a couple different colors and some sort of pattern. Could try to make it spell something or mean something.
Yeah, we were like, we thought QR code for a little bit, but it's not enough dots.
Not quite
we did the
enough.
Math to figure out how many dots it was, and it's not going to be...
Yeah.
Because we were like, maybe you could take a QR code and it would like lead you on a scavenger hunt around the house. Because I'm like, why not make your house an interactive game?
Yeah.
We could still do something cool.
Yeah,
like
we can do something
spell
cool.
Something in Morse code or something like that. So I don't know. I feel like that decision happened in less than 5 minutes and we felt very good about it. It's like, yeah, it's traditional, but practical, but has a little bit of room for some whimsy. Seemed like great, mm-hmm, great for us. Felt very good about that. Then spent the rest of the appointment discussing the backsplash and all the tile options,
which was the much harder one. And she did not have a quick solution for us.
Well, partially because we don't know what we wanted.
Yeah. We didn't come into it with a list of requirements like the floor.
So should we leave the floor be and talk about the backsplash, or should we talk about how we started to think maybe we have a different idea within 12 hours of deciding this about the floor?
Let's move on to the backsplash and come back.
Okay.
Come back.
You can experience what we experienced, which is, yeah, we thought we had made a decision.
Yeah.
And then we've unmade a decision.
So, kitchen backsplash. We know we want to do tile on the backsplash above the stove, not around the rest of it. And ideally, also carry the tile up over the hood, the range hood. And we're going to do the where you buy the internals of the range hood separately and you build kind of a box around it. That way it's not just a hood sticking out in the kitchen and look more integrated. And then you can also tile up over that. So again, not a huge place, but it does end up being, I think, what was it, like 4 feet by 6 feet? So 24 square feet.
We were like, okay, we can do like a cooler tile. Like, you know, you don't want to tile an entire bathroom in
something like this.
Yeah, in something, yeah, like this. So the retail price of this, we would be able to get like a slightly better deal because we'd get the like designer discount and our contractor would have a relationship with them. But here's the thing. We did the math and it would be like a $3,000 backsplash, yep, because the retail price of this is like $110 a square foot, which, yep, is very reasonable considering that
for what it is.
It is hand painted in Portland. You get to design, yeah, exactly what you want.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
Super cool.
But it is very expensive.
And I didn't feel strongly enough about, like, here's the thing. I think if we had been over the moon with it, mm-hmm, then
we could justify it.
We could justify, yeah, it, right? You decide where you're going to splurge and where you're, yeah, not. I didn't feel over the moon about, there wasn't anything that spoke to me because I think part of the problem was that the possibilities are so, so broad, mm-hmm, that it didn't narrow down my universe of choice very much. It wasn't easy to be like, yes, this is the pattern I want, because you have to then think about what the, you know, we got sent home with coloring sheets, yeah, to like try to figure it out. And we were biking home, and, you know, we were feeling semi-confident about that we were going to do this because we were like, man, we can like make it like a subway or something like that. And Aaron was thinking a gradient. And then we started to slowly realize how much it was going to be. Mm-hmm. We were doing the back of the envelope calculations while we were biking home. We were like, oh.
That's a very expensive backsplash.
That is a very expensive backsplash.
Quite frankly, I have seen a lot of, like, tiled hoods are becoming a thing, but they're mostly subway tiled. I don't see, mm-hmm, a lot of the tile, like the pattern tile, going all the way up. And so that could cut the cost. Once again, what does it, will it really have a visual impact if it's 24 inches of a backsplash only in one part of the kitchen and then the hood is just plain or whatever? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It really went with a lot of back and forth. So, you know,
I guess we left that place being like, yeah, this is what we're going to go with. We just have to pick the colors next. That was kind of how we left it
until we really,
and then it kind of started unraveling after that.
Well, and here's the thing that really we saw, Aaron's dad, who has only done, I think, one boutique residential project, generally works on a much bigger scale and as a landlord or a property, mm-hmm, manager, who is doing things for durability, efficiency, and priced efficiency. And he was floored when he heard how much we were thinking
about.
He was
extremely offended.
Nobody liked the idea. One, most people weren't even that impressed with the design decisions. Like, no. My mom was like, don't do gradient. That's so, yeah, 90s. Yeah. Your dad was like, cool, but not worth $110 a square foot.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think a lot of people were just trying to talk us out of the idea of doing a really bold backsplash.
Mm-hmm.
So many of our other decisions were confirmed by your True. Parents and yeah. my parents. So like your dad has never seen a bamboo floor before, but has obviously seen tons of floors.
And installed hardwood in his house.
Yep. And they just installed new flooring in their closets too.
They did
like oak in their bedrooms and everything. So he was blown away by the bamboo and especially that it's half the price of the hardwood and all of the qualities of a hardwood. And I'm pretty much that discussion convinced me. I think I feel very good about the bamboo. We need to be sure that we're okay with the supplier for the bamboo.
Or we look around for
a
different supplier.
The only thing was that this very opinionated and very smart tile designer that we worked with was very passionate about cork flooring. And I do think I want to check out, because we've seen very few cork flooring. We've really only seen it at one flooring place.
Yeah, they only have
one brand and like a couple, a very limited color palette. So I think I want to go somewhere that has a higher range of cork flooring just to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's comparable price-wise to bamboo. Yep. So, and I do like the idea of the sound insulative properties. So anyway, essentially we've undone all of our decisions about flooring. The only flooring that's still locked in, no pun intended again, is on the rentals.
Yep.
And for our unit, it's like, we're not going to have a floor. We're not going to have a roof. We're not going to have a bathtub. We're not going to have any faucets.
I know we were like pretty set on the first decision, and then the bamboo popped up and then the cork popped up. And then we've got one person excited about the bamboo, one person excited about the cork. So yeah.
But the bamboo was reassured. And then the other thing that everybody really liked is they really liked the quartz countertop that I picked.
So, oh, right. Yeah.
And
Portrush
from Cambria. And, you know, my plan was to bring the backsplash up, the counter up as the backsplash, because it's a really bold design choice. And like, we can kind of do that all along. I'm starting to think that we should just pay whatever extra amount it would be. You know, the thing I'm worried about is efficient use of the slabs, because we're buying a slab when it comes to quartz. I'm thinking that should just be the backsplash. I don't necessarily think we should bring it all the way up above the hood. I'm starting to talk myself out of a slab hood or a tiled hood. And I think maybe we should just box it in a light color and move on with our lives.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
We're already going to be paying for so many custom cabinets. I'm starting to think we should just pay for a custom cabinet that we like for the hood and not try to tile it, not try to make it a design feature, try to just make it disappear.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, the tile situation is,
it's just very hard to make a decision that you're going to be staring at every day.
Well, and it's a very expensive decision. Yeah. Like covering something in wood, we could get a nice wood and put a nice wood around it if we wanted the wood to be the feature for significantly less money. We could install it ourselves. Tiling the front of a hood by ourselves is a dumb idea, especially as we're staring at it every day. Even with experience tiling, that isn't a project I would particularly want to take on. And it will look a lot worse if we do it poorly. And it's very expensive. So if you do it, like, because the installation is half the cost of tile, right? So, anyway, so there is one decision we have kind of made. So,
Probably made. Probably not going to get undone.
It might not be this exact one. I have ordered samples. But this is going to be our wet bar. So this
is the backsplash of the wet bar.
The backsplash of our wet bar. So our wet bar is around the corner from the kitchen. It's kind of facing the kitchen. And because it's far enough away, we're kind of going with a different vibe over there. They're going to be two kind of separate spaces connected by the seating area, which is banquette seating.
The countertop will be soapstone.
Hopefully. If we can find it.
dark gray, dark soapstone countertop. Hopefully with a sink built in. And the whole idea with that is that it's going to be like dark, moody bar vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I want like, you know, Mad Men, dark, moody kind yeah. of vibes. And we keep calling it the wet bar, but it's actually also a coffee station, yeah. Which is how I'm going to interact with it. And that's part of the reason the Soapstone counters is a big plus, because the Soapstone is totally resistant to acids, which is why it's used as laboratory countertops. So, but for the backsplash, we can go bold. Because there's some cool dark backsplashes there, and it's not very many feet.
It's tiny because it's backsplash, so we're not going that tall, and it's not that wide because there's going to be cabinets on the sides that reach the countertop. So it's actually only the middle section that gets the backsplash.
So I said immediately that I to the tile designer, oh yeah, I think I want to do a Nero marble with brass. And she was immediately like, let me take you to that. That's what I was going to suggest. So I felt very validated that my non-professional yeah. design vision was the same yeah. as her immediate thought.
And they had a bigger version of this up on the wall in the place to get a better idea of how it looks
yes.
tiled. Because this doesn't actually
so
represent
we'll
it very well.
So we'll try to insert a picture of that.
And the grout color will be darker than yeah. this sample.
We're not going to make the circles
not gonna do the
quite
bright
as prominent.
But excited about that. I think that'll
yep.
it'll look good.
So do you want to talk about how the one other flooring decision we made, we started to undo once we talked to my dad?
Yeah. So we were sitting there, you know, talking about all of our plans. And your dad was like, why, how did he even bring it up? Why?
I think we were talking about wanting to do something kind of fun.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, we thought about doing a QR code or doing something in Morse code. And he had the idea.
He was like, what about a transporter pad? Star Trek.
And we were both like, man, that would be cool. Could you do it? So then Aaron looks up on his phone, like, what does it actually look like? It is a pattern that absolutely could be done in tile.
Absolutely. It's fascinating. I never really like looked in detail at the transporter pad in Star Trek, but in the Enterprise and a couple other ships, it's the same. And it's just a cool little geometric pattern.
It what I love about this idea is that it's uniquely nerdy while also just recreating a classic like entryway pattern, because you know when I was looking into entryways and I was trying to find stuff that worked for really tall entrances, of course I ended up looking at like Versailles mm-hmm. staircases and stuff, because triple height entryways are only normal in grand houses usually. Like even McMansions usually at most have a double
right,
height.
Right.
So, and we don't have like a barn style structure, because I did see some of those in like, you know, in the more exurbs, you'll see those kind of McMansion style where they have like the mm-hmm. huge barn level. And that's like the closest I could find. But if you look at the grand entryways of old houses, like Versailles, for example, what they'll have is they'll have like a geometric pattern made out of contrasting marbles usually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, gosh, we could really do this with tile.
Yeah. So the pattern is essentially there's like in the transporter pad, it's glowing lights from the bottom are the bright spots. And then the rest, there's a dark, presumably metal surface. And then there's the center is like a color. Essentially what that means is that we get three colors. So we get some sort of dark, some sort of light, and then a color to tie it together. So that's the decision we have to make. As much as I want to, I don't think it's a good idea to actually put lights under the floor.
Yeah, I think we'll regret
that. I think
that.
We would regret that for a number of reasons. But it'll be, you know, a bright tile.
Well, and we'll just, if we don't dust very often, we'll have a column of dust that you can light up.
Yeah.
That's my excuse for not cleaning.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I think it would be so cool. And I think there's like ways it's neat to have a front hallway you could dress up for Halloween, because we could like dress it mm-hmm. up like the spaceship for Halloween. I'm on board with it. What we need to figure out is how to get someone to design it in affordable tile for us.
Right. Yeah.
Because it could absolutely be done with like hex tile or one of the more kind of common cheaper tile mm-hmm. formats, because the real cost is going to be getting the mosaic laid out.
So yeah, the two options are mosaic style, probably small like
penny
one
tile.
Inch hexagons
yeah.
and then it could be an approximation of a circle, not an exact circle of course, or actually cut out the pieces exactly. and do large chunks where it actually is a perfect circle all the way around. And I don't really know what the price difference is on those two options, so I think it's worth finding out.
Also, it doesn't always have to be hex tile. Like, you can mix and match types of tile. So some of the finer lines we could do in like black hex tile. It's just about the thickness of the tile and like whether or not it'll look good together. And that's the kind of thing I'm not really an expert on. So we did a little bit of research, and it looks like you can like hire like that some of the tile websites, like they, you can tell them you want a tile mosaic and they'll like design it for you with their available tiles. And that might end up being our best option. I do kind of want to see if we can give this opportunity to the local business that we talked to with the tile designer we met with and be like, hey, is this possible? And have them like tell us either it's not possible or it's going to be very expensive.
I do feel like if anybody is going to be willing to give us an expensive option, if that's the only way to do it, it would be them.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
like going to like Home Depot and asking the tile people, they're like, hey, can we do this? They'd be like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Do you have a tile cutter that can cut circles?
Right. I honestly, I'm not worried about the cutting of the circles with the tile cutter, because any a skilled tile layer can lay smaller tiles in that. Like, the options are not only penny hex and cutting out of tile. There are an in between. There are round tiles, for example,
like the ones that we're looking at here.
Yes, I don't know. I'm pretty sold on that. As long as it's not gonna be. It's not going to blow the budget in other areas.
Yeah.
So we have to investigate how to do that. We need to do it relatively soon. It's not the most crucial thing. As long as we know we're going to have tile in the entryway, that's done later. It's not like, I don't know, for example, the flooring for the restaurant place, which needs to be ordered like very soon.
Or more importantly, the plumbing.
Perfect transition.
So... that's something that is going to be, that is like the next step, is the plumbing guy comes in and puts all the pipes in the walls. So,
and the pipes apparently are influenced by the faucets. So we have to pick those, which is a thing I didn't know.
But we did. We went out to Kohler.
Which is like, if you're going to pick the most expensive place to start looking at plumbing, it would be Kohler. But
they have a fancy showroom in Northwest, in the Pearl.
Yeah. We went there because we knew we're probably going to end up picking Kohler for at least one or two of the things. Aaron was excited to learn that.
So before we went there, I started thinking about the features that I want in a shower system. So in terms of like how you want the knobs to work and where you want things arranged. And I made a list of what I want. I want a knob that controls the temperature that's separate from the knob that controls the water pressure. Probably want more than one thing that spits water out. And I think we landed on an overhead rain and a handheld wand. I want a separate knob that controls the pressure for each of those. And that's actually not super normal in cheaper and apartment stuff, where it's like, you know, the one knob turns everything on and adjusts the temperature.
I think we've all stayed in an Airbnb where you're completely confused.
Which is the flip side, is like, you also don't want to make it so complicated that you have to learn how the system works before you can use it. Like, oh, you got to flip that knob there and then do this.
Parents have an entire diagram about how to use their not even complicated.
I noticed that.
Because, I mean, that's the thing. If you travel internationally, you start to learn that every country approaches faucets and showers very differently.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm taking a freaking test when I'm just trying to take a shower.
But, so, we walked into Kohler and I was like, okay, we got to find, is this even possible to find valve configurations like this? And they had this one on the wall that was this little grid of knobs. And I was just looking at it. I was like, that is actually exactly what I wanted it to do. It was a big knob for the temperature and then these little knobs for the different pressure systems. And they had it rigged up with like three. So overhead, wall, or rain, a wall head, and then a wand also. And the only weird thing about that one was that like you push the button into the wall to like turn it on and then you would rotate it to adjust the volume.
Yeah.
And I was like, I asked the person there, I was like, hey, Are there any other things like this? Because this is the configuration, like how I want the knobs to work. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, come over here. Went to this other part, and they had it in a more normal configuration of, like, you know, vertically stacked knobs that are, like, more bigger, just bigger knobs.
Yeah.
Because these other ones were tiny little things. It felt more like using an electronic device. But she brought us over to the section where they had these nice big, big knobs. And same system, though. Same, like, one is the temperature. There's little valves for each of the pressure. And then she brought us over to the wall of options to choose from that you want to put on the valves. So you can get any of these different heads and put them into the system in all these different colors. And I was like, this is great. This is exactly, like, these are the choices that I want to be making.
Yep.
And I think we landed on, I think we made that decision.
Yep.
It's going to be a little rotating, like a ship steering wheel style for the temperature.
I think it's, I'm calling it steampunk in luxury.
But yeah, so it'll be the ship steering wheel for the temperature and then the little flap valves for the pressure. That way you don't have to use a slippery hand to try to turn off the water after you're done. And I'm happy with that. And then the shower heads, you pick out from their options, also totally separate things because you buy them all individually and they all get piped into the wall.
However, we didn't pick the ones for the rentals.
Yeah.
Theoretically, those are easier.
I think we're going to do much more
standard. Normal. We're not going to do five different knobs because nobody wants to move into a rental where they have to. I mean, for the long-term tenants, it's not a huge deal, but it's very annoying at an Airbnb.
Just do the regular, like, one knob is everything.
But we need to decide very soon because there's four bathrooms that we haven't made the decisions on. We also have not yet picked the kitchen
faucet,
but I think we picked the kitchen sink. So we found a sink that we're feeling pretty good about.
That was like hours of searching websites.
We spent a lot of time doing it. We also, to be fair, didn't really want to do anything else, and we were using it as like a procrastination tactic.
Hey.
But, you know, it feels like a big deal too, because your sink is something, your kitchen sink is like, if you cook, it's a thing you spend like a lot of time thinking about and dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a dishwasher, so I have like fewer opinions about it than I did when I didn't have a dishwasher. But we're getting a workstation, I believe fire clay. We kind of went back and forth about if we should do stainless steel or fire clay. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason we went to the Kohler store was so that we could hear what the stainless steel in the lower gauges, which is apparently the better stainless steel. We went, but none of those were hooked up to plumbing, and they also didn't have any fire clay sinks. So it completely defeated our, like, part of our point of going there.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think we just decided the fire clay, we like the look of it, and it's a feature piece. And frankly, there were fewer options of workstation style sinks in fire clay, and we needed a limiting factor.
Yeah. So we approached this again by making a list of all the things we want the sink to do, and farmhouse style fire clay, this particular size, or I think we had between 33 and 36 or something as the size.
And I really wanted a workstation sink because I like the idea of accessories that are meant to fit in the sink, because I have a lot of like kind of inappropriate accessories that I use all the time that are available, like a strainer and things like that. So
the one thing that we were looking for that we did not end up finding in there, along with all the other features, was the waterfall inside the sink, where there's like the water that
we were looking for, but did we want it?
There was one that kept popping up, and I was like, that seems really cool. Still can't tell if it's actually useful or if it's just cool.
I think it might be one of those things where you get it and everybody's like, I know what year you built this kitchen in. Like,
I think that seems very likely.
I think it's very possible. Yeah. Or it's going to be one of those things that everybody's going to have in their kitchens that have been remodeled and everybody going forward has it. But it did seem a bit gimmicky to me. And I feel like if my first inclination is that it's a bit gimmicky, that's probably a sign that you don't need it. We are going to get a pull down faucet, which is important because I have an above sink dish storage system that I brought back from India as one of my check bags when I moved back from India. And because they're very hard to find here in the US, they're getting easier to find, partially just because we've solved that since 2009 by much cheaper shipping from abroad, and like more readily available international e-commerce. But we're going to get a custom one built. We're not going to build around this one because this one is, I bought it by the side of the road in a suburb of Mumbai. Like it's fine.
It's fine.
It's amazing. I've taken it between 6 or 7 houses.
Also, I cannot believe that it fit in this apartment by complete chance.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll try to like insert a picture of, because what we ended up.
We're going to have to clean it for that. Oh, we'll just show them the messy dish rack.
I think we may have taken like a beautifully staged picture at one point in time. Anyway, it's very functional. But the thing about having the pull down faucet is it does limit where the lowest part of the shelf can go. So that's like one of the factors. I also really want to get a brass pull down faucet because I think it would be a really beautiful accent in the kitchen. Aaron doesn't like brass.
I really just don't like the color. I'm going to have to be convinced that as a one-off highlight somewhere that it is nice.
Yeah. Well, so oil rubbed bronze is what we're probably going to try to go with. Otherwise, black. And I do think that brass can be a useful accent as demonstrated.
I like it here in small doses.
There's one other faucet we still have to decide on.
Which?
The bathtub faucet.
Oh, yeah.
And turns out to decide on the bathtub faucet, we really probably need to pick the bathtub.
Yep.
And I'm pretty tempted to just say I've already sat in this bath. There's not like bathtub stores with lots of bathtubs for you to sit in.
There was that one we went to that you sat in literally every bathtub.
I sat in every bathtub, but like they also only had some of the bathtubs available to buy from them. I liked that one and I think we might be just, we'll stick with that one. There's some other ones that kind of like give us some of the thoughts with it, but we did get a hot tip from one of the Kohler employees about bathtub comfortableness. So I was thinking about the length of the bathtub and the shape of the bathtub, but the thing you need to find out is the lumbar angle.
Right.
Of the bathtub, which is, I guess, a thing that can be marked. If not, I guess I have to go back to the bathtub store and take a protractor. But there is a lumbar angle. And then if you find other bathtubs that have that lumbar angle, then it will be comfortable if that bathtub was comfortable to you, which is it's kind of similar to how you have to try to find pants that fit in the American pants sizing.
We got to wrap this up.
We got to wrap this up. So what's late this week?
What's late this week is that actually nothing is late this week. Actually, something happened early, which is that they've been borrowing power from the ADU, which means the framing crew like opens up the door, goes into the kitchen, plugs the thing into the wall. Not great. So we're trying to get actual temporary power installed, which is very normal to do. Finally got a hold of someone at the power company and they were like, cool. If you want power out, you need to go install a pole. That way we can run the line from the street to the pole. And do you know where you want it? I was like, nope. And they're like, cool. We'll send somebody out to go look at the property and tell you where to put the pole. And I was like, this is probably going to take weeks. She was like, yeah, I don't know if he'll be able to come out this week. It might be a week or two later till he can get out there. And I was just ready to just have this be a 3-month long project.
Yeah.
And then the next day, the guy showed up on the lot out of nowhere, did not call me ahead of time, texted me sent a cryptic text, which was just, hey, is it okay if I send you a picture to this number? And I was like, hi, who is this? Weird text to get out of nowhere, not expecting it.
This is the thing. You have to respond to weird text messages.
I know,
in this process.
You have to answer phone calls from numbers that you don't recognize, and you have to respond to weird text messages. It's very frustrating. And I did respond because I was like, on the off chance this is important, I should probably respond. And it turns out, yes, it was important. And he replied back with a photo with a nice little diagram showing where to put the pole.
Ah.
And that's great. That happened way ahead of schedule.
That's great.
So that's nice. Now we got to go put the pole in.
That's great. So hopefully by next week, I'm hoping we will have nailed down at least one of these decisions that we keep going back and forth on.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I may end up doing is asking the general contractor to I'll be like, I like this bamboo floor. Go find me someone, and or do research and find out if the company that we like, because the issue is that the company is also the distributor. Like it's their own flooring product, and there isn't a way to get that exact floor.
They don't just have stock here.
Right.
They buy the stock from the actual manufacturer in China.
Yeah.
Put it on a shipping container and send it over here, which means they have to have enough orders to fill. So we don't really know, like, if everything goes according to plan and everybody buys an expected amount of bamboo flooring in the next 3 months, we'll get it on time, but there's no guarantee.
I know. I'm really concerned about, because also, like, the pricing structure is such that 100% prepaid pre-order is the cheapest way.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that if this person has already admitted to us he's had issues with fulfilling orders because of supply chain issues. So,
because then we're completely stuck with that floor and just waiting.
Or we're stuck with, I mean, this is what one of my friends was saying. She was like, well, are you willing to do whatever the bad option is if the flooring doesn't arrive? Because that's really your most, you know, your most expensive option is like the flooring doesn't happen and you put something else in.
And pay for it.
Yeah. And then maybe you want to do something, you know, like, are you going to ever change it? Probably not. So, yeah. She was also like, can you get a certificate of occupancy without a floor? And I was like, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Because it's for our unit, which is the top unit. So, like,
We could put rugs around and, you know, get by on rugs, sort of.
It's not
a good option.
No, it's not a good option. I think it's possible we wouldn't be able to get the certificate of occupancy for it. Her suggestion was a bunch of carpet squares until the flooring arrives. But I think if we're at the point where that's what's holding up the certificate of occupancy, I'm not going to be married to this floor. So
no, it's just that if we had to pay, if we already paid in full,
I know,
then we've just double paid for floors, which is not good.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not, they're not crazy cheap. So it's not, yeah.
There's a lot of floor, it turns out.
Yeah. And, oh, thing I didn't know I needed to know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there was anything this week that I didn't know I needed to know.
No, I think we've been just sort of on the same, thinking about the same problems for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real problem.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be moving on to new and better problems soon.
Oh, actually, there was one thing I didn't know.
Oh.
Where the drain is in the bathtub and whether or not you get it pre-drilled with a drain affects the plumbing, and the plumbing drain affects the faucet, which is part of rough-in, which means it needs to be decided like now, which I didn't think, like, whether or not you get a pre-drilled bathtub was a thing I needed to worry about right now.
Right.
Because there's no walls yet. but turns out, need to decide that really soon. So I think it's, I may just petition for the bathtub we already looked at to be the bathtub. The only downside is that one doesn't seem to be available in black. And we've got really into the idea of a black bathtub.
Yeah.
But theoretically, it's a cast iron bathtub. And there are people who paint cast iron bathtubs. So we might be able to get someone to paint it. Including, like, possibly the people we buy it from, because I think you can pick whatever color you want for the other ones.
All right. So hopefully the framers continue to make more progress.
Yep.
Soon, get this thing closed up. Hopefully the windows arrive. We're looking for that order pretty soon. At some point, gotta deal with fixing all the mistakes the framers made, because they. Oh, I found a new problem. By the way.
Oh, no.
The outside windows in our entryway are the wrong size.
Oh, no.
So I have to tell them that tomorrow. And
I'm sure they're really happy about this.
Yeah. I don't know how they messed that one up, because it's very clear on the plans.
They probably were looking at the other plans where it wasn't changed yet. That's what happened last time.
Well, they framed them in smaller. Even smaller than what we needed.
Oh,
so,
and they've only gotten smaller. Every time the plans have been revised, there have been less windows. Okay.
So, Yeah, we'll see how that goes next week. Hopefully that'll get sorted out.
All right. Signing off for the House Files.
We don't have a good outro.
No, we really don't.
Till next time.